Welcome to Rambling About Rivers, a place to talk about all things rivers, from the impacts of climate change to river health. We are going to be taking you on a journey to hear the many ways people are looking after and saving our rivers. And today I have ditched Dan and I've got my lovely colleague Emily in for a female only special. And also because this is my last ever podcast. Well, I say ever. I'll be back in like 12 months, but I'm off on maternity leave. And so I'm handing the reins over to Emily and she's going to be taking the podcast on with Dan in the future. So hello, Emily. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here.
You should be honoured taking my place.
I know I've got big shoes to fill, but I'm going to do my best.
So, and you've got to keep Dan in check as well, obviously.
That's probably going to be the hardest part, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we've got this female only special today. So do you want to tell us what it's all about?
Yeah, so I've actually managed to bag myself what I believe is going to be one of our best podcasts yet. So it's a great one for me to start with. So as Jane mentioned, this is going to be a female only special today. And today's podcast is all about the Wanderlust Women, which is an incredible initiative set up by an amazing woman called Amira, who we're going to speak to today. She ditched her life in Bolton for the Lake District at the start of the pandemic, and she now dedicates her life to providing Muslim women with opportunities to get outdoors. I've managed to join what I believe is going to be one of our best podcasts yet, because today we are joined by Amira, who is the founder of the Wanderlust Women, which is a fantastic Muslim women's hiking and adventure group. Thank you for joining us today, Amira. I just wondered if you wanted to give us a little introduction to yourself.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for that. And hi, everyone. So, my name's Amira. I was originally from a place called Bolton in Lancashire, and now I currently reside in Lake District. About a year ago, I started a really sort of small community online of just sharing my own journeys and outdoors and just sort of like my adventures, which has now turned into like a really big tribe of women, which is the Wanderlust Women. Founded it a year ago because I felt like there was a need for representation of people who look like me within outdoors. And now a year later, I've left my job. I'm doing this full time. The outdoors is like my office now. And I'm working really hard to not just support my group, but to also increase awareness. So yeah, it's been a really beautiful journey.
Oh, it sounds absolutely fantastic. And we're so pleased to have you here. So in a nutshell, what is Wanderlust Women and how many people are involved with it so far?
So the Wanderlust Women is a group which I founded for Muslim women to sort of join. So it's sort of like an open door for them. It's a space where they can feel comfortable. It's a space where they feel like there are people who look like them, and to explore the outdoors, to adventures, to learn more educational. We do a lot of different things. I don't have a limit of how many people. That is literally open to all women. It is targeted for Muslim women and women of ethnic backgrounds, but everyone is welcome. And our Instagram account has literally, we started off and, we already have 8,000 people that follow us and who want to be a part. We've got people from all over the UK, women who travel 7-8 hours just to participate in our events. So it shows how much this group was needed. We're just a tribe of women just doing what we do and just wandering the world.
That's I can't amazing. Believe people are traveling 7-8 hours to come and join in. That's actually it's quite upsetting actually, because that means that they haven't got anything local to them.
That's the thing. Oh. Because a lot of the places and sort of the areas there are, you do have to travel to them, and a lot of the women are from inner city areas, so they don't have that, they may have parks and things, but nothing the lakes or Wales or Scotland and things where there's a variety of things that you can do. And we get women from all ages joining. When I started the group, I thought we'd have women sort of similar age to me, when I sort of look back, a lot of women are between the 40s and 60s joining these groups, and it shows that is something that was needed for all, you know, all ages, and you know, they were really looking for something to sort of join, and they found this, and you know, and it's really incredible, inspiring for me to see, because then I look at them and think, no, actually, I want to be like them when I'm, you know, I'm at that age, and I want to be fit and active. So it's like it works two ways, because you know, every single woman that joins, they've all got a different story, they've got a different background, they bring something to me which enables me to, you know, continue to do what I'm doing.
So am I right in thinking that you basically set up the Wanderlust Women in the middle of the pandemic?
Yeah, so about 4 or 5 years ago, I started a group. I was going through some troubles of myself, and I found like the outdoors really healing, and I started like just in like social media wasn't as popular then, so it was more like word of mouth. But there weren't as many, like people would say they want to join, and then the groups were always ended up being just me and my mom and a few of the girls, and that was it. So then we just ended up doing that, our hiking, and I would still post out walks, but it wasn't as popular. And I think COVID had that big impact on not just like our community, but a lot of people just to get outdoors. So when obviously we weren't working, and for me, I'm really active and I can't not do anything. Like I just can't do anything. So I had to do something. So I decided that I'm going to start, because I'm used to traveling, I'm used to going out, and I'm used to doing a lot of things. And just before the pandemic, I started my sort of journey in terms of blogging, of me being like a person that wears a veil and goes hiking. And then obviously then we get into a lockdown, and I was like, what do I do? So I started exploring my own area. I got a book and I started just writing all the routes that I can find from my doorstep of where everywhere I can go. And I just started logging that down, and I found so many beautiful routes. So I started just, you know, videoing, and a lot of people were messaging me saying that, you know, your stories are comforting to us because we don't have that access, or we really enjoy watching your stories because, you know, we don't have a green space near us, so watching yours makes us feel refreshed. And a lot of women were like, oh, it's really nice to see, you know, a woman like yourself and who, you know, dresses the way you do and still go outdoors. And to me, I was like, this is pretty normal. But then I realized actually there isn't actually no representation. So I just decided, I thought I'll just start doing the walks again. But then like through like friends and like, you know, the support circle, they were like, why don't you, you know, create a group? And I was quite nervous because I'm with an introvert and I'm quite shy and things like that. And I was like, how am I going to do it? And then I just decided, okay, let's just start it. And yes, and I just made an Instagram page, and I just said, you know, I'm literally like the most simplest thing in terms of like, this is a group for Muslim women or women from different ethnic backgrounds to get together and walk. And I woke up the next day with so many messages. I actually didn't know what to do, and I was like, okay, this is okay. And then I had like people contacting me and like brands and like all like, and then that whole the Black Lives Matter was going on, and there was like so much going on in the world, and I just thought, all right, okay, so maybe this is what I need to do. And then in lockdown, because I had the time to invest in it, and I really, you know, started using my voice for the first time, and which is something that I never do. Like social media was one of them things which I wouldn't really use, but I started using it a lot more, but in a positive way. And then, yeah, like this year when I went back to work properly, because we were still in and out of work last year, so I still had that time to, you know, do things. And then when I got back into it full time, I just realized that I was doing that. I was literally going on adventures, doing the Wanderlust Women. Sometimes I'd ring my manager in the morning saying, I'm literally on the way back from an adventure, I'm going to be like, you know, an hour late. And I just realized that this is like, it was too much. And I thought, right, I need to actually, and even at that job, I knew that, you know, I was very good at my job, but I knew that I needed to do something for myself. So then I literally, like 5 months ago, I just decided that I thought, I'm going to leave my job. And I didn't know what exactly I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to do something where I was going to be outdoors. So I decided to backpack Lake District for a month and just see what outdoor life would be like if I did it as a full-time thing. And then I learned so much. I connected with loads of people. I just, you know, really used my connections through social media, friends, you know, all the people that are already into the outdoors. And I decided, okay, that's it. I'm going to train, obviously, to become a mountain leader. And I'm going to work on the Wanderlust Women. I'm going to do loads of projects. And yeah, and then everything just sort of fell in place. And then I ended up just staying here. So that's sort of how I am where I am right now.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, amazing journey that you've come on. What was that first session like that you led? Did you ask like your friends to come along to help you? Or, you know, because it's just like, I'm absolutely in awe of your confidence. I know you say you're an introvert, but it's just, I'm just absolutely amazed by how confident you have been to like set this up and do it and just go for it. And so like, what was that? Like, you must have been so nervous with that first session.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, because I think doing something like this, you're helping the community, but in fact it's been a journey for me as well, in terms of my like sort of healing, my confidence, self-love, being, you know, being the woman I am. So I think through all this, it's really helped me as well. And I think that first walk, I was really, really nervous. A lot of the women I knew who joined, because I used to work at a salon which was a ladies only salon. So we used to have loads of women coming to the salon and spa, because there wasn't any salon or spas which was ladies only, because we had a pool and stuff. So I met a lot of women through there. So within the community, a lot of the women already knew me. So so majority of the group I knew. And one of my friends came to help me. And we had a group of 30, and I was so, so nervous, but everyone was so lovely. Like, I was literally so teary, because everyone just kept sending, like telling me all these lovely messages, and they all sent me like really lovely messages after. And the hill that we walked was like my first hill, like my first hike that I did. So it was quite special. And then from there, like, I think you just sort of build up that confidence each time. And then you just sort of, you know, you get used to meeting so many people.
Yeah. Do you think that's your biggest challenge, has been overcoming your own confidence?
I'd say it was one of them, because, you know, I would never, even now, I'm doing things like public talks and things like that. It's something that I'd never, ever imagined myself to do, because I was the person that wouldn't even stand up to like get my certificate in an assembly, or, you know, I'd be the person that I would beg my teacher to be like, I don't want to do any sort of like plays or anything, because I was so, so shy. So yeah, it was one of, you know, the barriers, but I think there were a lot of other barriers as well, like, you know, going into a world which, you know, you literally don't see anyone else that, you know, is being represented like you, going into a world which is very different to yours, and a lot of different things. You know you belong there, but outwardly you look different. And, you know, coming from a community like mine, you know, especially coming here, which is completely different. So there were a lot of different challenges, but I feel like them challenges have, you know, helped me to progress further.
Now that we've heard a bit more about the Wanderlust kind of initiative and what it's all about, I wondered if we could move into something a bit more about the kind of philosophy behind it and this idea of finding empowerment through nature. So I think in some communities, particularly white people, see nature as this kind of open space, it's open to everyone and welcoming to everyone. And while obviously that should be the case, it's not always what happens in reality, and it can often feel like quite a hostile place for other people. Mm-hmm. So obviously your group, Wanderlust Women, was specifically created to give Muslim women a safe space to experience nature. And I just wondered if you'd be comfortable discussing what kind of barriers you've had to address in order to create this safe space.
I think how I see it is that the Wanderlust Women was like a sort of door. And I opened a door for these women to come and explore, because each you know, each group that I take out, they all come back different, and they all come back feeling like they found themselves. And I think the thing is, if you're going anywhere and, you know that you look different, and, you know, your dress is different, and your dressing and your identity and things like that, you're not automatically, you're going to get stares. No one needs to tell you, or there doesn't need to be signs saying this is only for white people, or this is not for brown and black people, things like that. But it's the things that are already there, that have been there for so many years, and that are still instilled in everywhere. So I think, you know, it's like the microaggressions, it's the things about like representation, it's the things like where a lot of the communities are from inner cities, it's the things where the, you know, a lot of the families haven't, you know, been into, they're not growing up with that. So it's like, how do you even go about it? It's going back to the basics, okay, of like, you know, what do you even wear? And then obviously when you're around a group of, you know, Muslim women who, you know, you all wear the hijab, you know, you all can stop for your prayers, you can all have that sort of safety measure, and you feel comfortable, but you don't feel if you know you don't feel awkward asking the other person, I'm going to stop for prayers. But you know, now obviously a lot of people more are coming aware of it because you know I've spoken about it. But if we didn't speak about it, they wouldn't know, and then you know the person would feel like, oh, I might as well not go because I don't want to feel uncomfortable. So there's loads of different things. And for us, nature is everything in our religion. You know, Islam comes from the word salam, which means peace. So our whole faith and what we do is based around, you know, sort of meditation, healing, grounding. And that's what we do. That's what our five prayers are. You know, our holy book mentions so much about nature and connecting. So this is all instilled in ourselves. So I've just sort of opened the doors for these women to find themselves, but also to find their spiritual side and how they can connect in a different way and feel more connected.
Yeah, I think that's amazing how you've done that. And then if you had loads of really good positive feedback about that as well, that you know, they continue to like themselves feel confident to get outside a lot more, not necessarily in the group, but out on their own as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, so many women be like, oh, we saw your post and I never thought I'd do this and I've done this, and we saw you swimming with your hijab, and you know, I went swimming with my hijab and I saw you put your, because I post every time I pray, because I feel like, not like as in not every time, but when I do pray, I do post like with my prayer mat and my prayer beads to show that you can pray wherever you want. But that in itself, like for me, that was pretty normal. But a lot of people were actually scared to do that, and they're like, you know, they were scared about what other people are going to think, would they get like racially attacked, would they get Islamophobia and things like that. But now a lot of women are like, oh, do you know what, we've started to do that. And so I think all these things is because it's what you see you're going to take. If you don't see it, you're not going to do it. And that's what was needed. It was just that visual representation. And even things like you know, the activities that I do, like, because I started wearing the veil like about 2 years, but before that, you know, I've always been me, I've always done everything, and I've always been like really adventurous and stuff, but I didn't see me what I was wearing as a barrier at the beginning. I may have thought, right, how am I gonna do it, like, because it's just, everyone's just gonna stare, and it's gonna, you know, that whole, oh, I'm gonna look out of place, blah blah blah. But I think when you have the right support, and when you go with the right people, and when you have that mindset, okay, you're just gonna do it, like, what's the worst that can happen, it slowly breaks down those barriers, and it slowly opens the way for conversation, it slowly opens the way for people to start understanding. So I think that's how it sort of went about.
So what is it about connecting with nature, do you think, that makes you feel so empowered, both as a woman and as a Muslim as well?
For me, I think it's more, for me, it's been like a whole journey, because, like, you know, I, you know, my sort of mum sort of, you know, was into the outdoors, and, you know, she introduced to me, and at the beginning, it was something that I didn't really enjoy, because I was at an age where I just wanted to be with friends, and, you know, that teenager phase. But then I slowly started to enjoy that time with her, and, you know, I slowly started to connect. And then when I went through and I started going back out again, I realized that it was something that helped me. I don't know in what way, but at that time I just knew that it helped me. And it was at that point where I was like, oh, I'd love to create. It was literally 5 years when I was like, I'd love to create something for women where we can get together, go out, meditate, you know, feel connected, and, you know, we can sort of share our problems, and something for, like, you know, our community. And I remember thinking, I don't know how it's going to happen, and I always wanted to do like these retreats and stuff, but then I always had that idea in the back of my head. So I think for me it's been like a journey. So first I found that self-healing, and then as I became more spiritual in myself and my religion, I found that every time I would go out, I'd come back a different person, I'd feel a lot lighter, I would feel like my everything that I would worry about, as soon as I'm on that hill or that walk or that mountain, I would forget everything, and the only thing that I would remember would be God, like, because I would see everything around me. It helped me to sort of like a stress relief, and I felt like it was, like, for me, like, the, you know, connecting to nature, it's like, it's my medicine, like, I need it to nourish my mind, my soul, you know, to feel that sort of feeling. Like, even today, in the past couple of months, like, I've been doing a lot of outdoor work, and it's been really, really busy, but today actually meant that the hike was really nice, and I just realized I actually just miss hiking, like, just not for work, not for this, not for anything, just for me.
You sometimes, it becomes like a bit of a drug, doesn't it? Like you start to really like need it. You know, sometimes when I'm working a full day, I'm like, I actually physically can't carry on. I have to go and like get some fresh air and have a walk because I'm not coping without like that walk and that fresh air. It does become like quite addictive almost.
And the thing is, you're engaging all your senses. Like some people just go for a walk, but like for me, it's like you go, you smell, you look, you touch, you feel, you literally connect with all your senses. So you're almost taking it in from every single angle. And then, I always carry my prayer beads with me, which, I love. It's like literally my best friend. And just being there and just sort of just being in a space where you can reflect, reconnect, recharge, and then come back, and then your brain automatically is a lot more clearer and just feel a bit lighter, and then you can start wherever you're doing. So, and I think a lot of people found that in during COVID because they had nothing to do, like walking became the new thing.
Yeah, I can relate to so much of what you're saying. I'm a massive introvert as well, and for me, nature is a massive kind of tonic, and it's probably where I feel, I guess, most like myself. And I think that kind of creates a space for learning more about yourself and getting to know who you actually are. And I just wondered if you felt like you'd learn anything in particular about yourself through that connection with nature.
Yeah, like I did not, like I used to have anxiety about being by myself, because me and my mum are really, really close, and I would always be like, I'm never gonna leave you, I'm gonna stay forever, no. And things like that. So for me, it's like, even like generally, because I was always quite shy and I just felt really unconfident and things like that, so being on my own, I was like, oh my god, that's the worst feeling. But during this, I actually found I love being on my own. I love solo hiking, and I went solo backpacking a few years ago, and then after that, I just thought, wow, this is amazing, like just being by yourself and being okay with that. And through my journey in the outdoors, I realized how much we actually need to be on our own to sort of come back go away from everything, and because everything's so fast moving and we're literally living this life, and then sometimes you need to come back and just think, right, what am I doing, what's my purpose, just talk to yourself about like what you're doing in life and things like that. And I think it also made me realize how like sort of resilient I am and strong, and like sort of all the things that you've gone through and you've overcome and things like that. And then when you're in certain situations where it's got dark and you've lost your way and you don't know where you're going, and all these things that go wrong, it makes you realize that you can actually get through anything. That's what I've sort of learned about myself.
And is that quite a common experience for your kind of group of wanderlust women? Do you think it is quite a transformative experience for them?
I think it depends, because we have a variety of people that come. So we've got like the people that have never been into the outdoors, and they've come and they stepped into this world, and they just, a lot of them cry because they're like, we can't believe we've missed this, and we've not had the opportunity for this, and only through our group they've had this opportunity. And then we have like the group of women who love doing it, and they must have done it here and there, but then they didn't really do it because they didn't feel confident enough, and now we've got that. And then you've got people who've been doing it for a long time, but they prefer coming in our group because they know they can feel a bit more comfortable. So we have like so many different types of women come in, but each time they all go away with something different, and they always, it's always that same thing about feeling connected to God, feeling connected to themselves, and it's that same sort of sisterhood sort of energy that they all have as well. And when they do leave.
Yeah, I love that. You must be making some lifelong friends.
So many.
Because it's like really hard to make friends when you're older, isn't it? It's like you never have the opportunities to make friends, and then so it's such a like a lovely thing to be involved with. And I think women need that connection as well.
I feel like women especially, they connect really well with whatever it is, like wherever you are, you can connect with whatever it is. Like, you might have completely two different lives, but there's always something that you can connect with, which is truly amazing.
I'm a terrible one for like making my new best friend in the toilet kind of thing, kind of situation. But you gotta take the opportunities while you have them sometimes.
Literally, when we go out and stuff, and because I went back to Bolton for 3 days, and like I think I must have been out, and then and everyone was like, oh hi, you're the one that's like, and everyone's like literally you know everyone. I'm like, no, I literally don't know everyone, but it's because everyone's like come to my events and stuff. And even like in the lakes, and my mom came to see me, and I think in the second month that I moved, and we were out for a swim or a kayak, I can't remember which one, and literally every 2 minutes I would see someone who I already know, or someone that's on Instagram, and we've met, and I was like, how have you already made all these friends? And I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, it's the outdoor community, like we all just like sort of know each other, and we all sort of stick together, and everyone's so friendly and stuff. But yeah, it's really nice to meet loads of like women from different areas of life. It's, you know, you hear some really beautiful stories, and you realize that actually every single person is going through something. Like sometimes you think you're the only person that's going through something, and then you meet someone and they've gone through a similar thing, and then someone else, and then within like my groups, I'll notice that, you know, a group would make, there'd be like little groups made, and they'll like talk about whatever they're going through, and it's just really, really nice to have.
So do you have a favorite Wonderless Women memory so far since you set it up? Where's like your like a euphoric moment of like, oh my god, this is the best thing I've ever done?
Oh, that's so hard. Wow, that's really hard. I think I'm gonna have to do two, because that one's just too hard. I think the first one is my first retreat. It was like one of them things that I actually just didn't know what I was doing. I was very new to it, and at the first retreat, and I thought, okay, let's see how it goes. And honestly, I met the most amazing women, like till this day, who are like really, really good friends. I actually met like one of my friends who we're literally like soulmates. Like, I'm actually like, we live together now, and it was just mad that there was someone else like me out there, and I didn't really know that. And then we met, and since then we've just been on so many amazing adventures, and you know, we finally found each other's match in terms of adventures we are and stuff. So I think that first retreat was, you know, really, really nice that we did in the Lake District. We went climbing, we did hiking, we had the most amazing food spread and barbecue. And yeah, I think that was like one of my first, because I think that was like the beginning of something for me. And then the other one is when we went gill scrambling. Like, it was so much fun. I've never had so much fun in my life. Like, just like, women.
What is that?
Gill scrambling. So it's like gorge walking.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But in the Lake District, they call it gill scrambling. So you're literally like in rivers and waterfalls, and you're climbing and you're jumping and you're in the water, and it's just so much fun. So yeah, that was a really good memory. And also,
yeah.
Oh, there's so many. all of them have had like really good memories. But yeah, those have been quite special.
Yeah, it sounds like you're having the time of your life. Sounds absolutely incredible. I mean, I've been gorge walking. It was like, it was so cold though. It's in Wales, actually. Not the lakes. It's really challenging as well, isn't it? It's quite tough. You have to be quite, we did it for a hen do, and which was quite, I think I organized it as well. And it was, it was expecting quite a lot of the girls, I think, because, you know, not everyone was up for it, but everyone managed to do it, and everyone finished feeling like on a massive high because they were just like so proud of themselves for getting for doing it, and getting through it, but enjoying it in the process.
Yeah, that's the thing, is sometimes we don't realize like how much we're going to enjoy something, because we look at it and we think, no, I can't do that. And then when they actually do it, and that's with my women as well, they're like, oh my god, we can't believe we did that, we're gonna do it again, and when's the next one, and things. So I think it's really important to build the confidence in women to realize the potential that they have.
Yeah, exactly. You just don't even know what you're capable of sometimes. Yeah, and then you do exactly. It and then you're like, oh my God, I can actually do that. I'm so chuffed with myself.
Yeah.
And I genuinely can't quite believe that you've only been doing this, you know, full time for a relatively short period, and it's grown so much in that time, and I'm sure it's set to grow even more in the future, which is fantastic. And I just wondered if you have any plans, you know, what's next for the Wanderlust Women?
So many plans. But I think the thing is with me, I'm very hardworking, and when I have a passion for something, as many would know and they describe me, I put my full 100% in. So, you know, like everyone will always see, you know, the glam side on social media, but, you know, behind the scenes, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of things that you have to do. There's a lot of negativity as well that you have to, you know, take on, you know, with the trolls, negative comments and things. So, you know, all of that, it takes its toll, and, you know, but because I enjoy it, and I love it, and I seriously have a passion for what I'm doing, and in terms of serving the community, like, you have that, you want to do it. Like, some nights, you know, I'm up till all night because I've had this idea in my head, and I'm like, right, I need to plan it right now, I need to do this, I need to do that. So, you know, and that's why, you know, people like, you know, it's grown so much, and it's like, what you put in is what you will get out, and I really believe in that. And, you know, I think that's been the thing for me. I've really worked hard, and I've tried my every sort of best to do as much as I can for these women. So my next steps is, you know, to hopefully get our website done soon, have, like, you know, proper sort of, because at the minute everything's on Eventbrite or Instagram, but we'll have, like, you know, we'll have like an organized method of booking things. Yeah. I really want to focus on setting up different, like, groups in the main sort of areas, you know, get women who are sort of like myself who are interested. You know, we'll sort of do like leadership courses, we want to do some expeditions abroad, we want to do, you know, so many different retreats, and just literally explore all areas, you know, while swimming, paddle boarding, kayaking, do lots more of what we've already been doing, like rock climbing. And then eventually, I would love to have a space of my own, like a center, for people from my community to access, and, you know, have like a hub or something. But that's, you know, future plans. But, you know, it's maybe it can happen. Who knows? But, you know, I can still have that idea there. But yeah, that's sort of the things that I'm working on, and not just taking people out, but to have it in them to become confident, to give them the skills that are needed, to have courses, to, you know, to put anyone that wants to be a leader to try and get that sort of available to them and stuff. So yeah, lots of plans.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. So how can people find out more about the next steps for Wanderlust Women? Where can they follow you? What's your Instagram handle and things?
So my personal account is Amira_thewanderlust, where I post about myself, my own journey, my voice for my community, for Muslim women. I am also a photographer and videographer, so I love doing a lot of adventure and nature films as well. So, you know, if people like watching drone footages and things like that, then, you know, my page is the one.
That makes sense. I did notice your photographs are absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, she must have a photographer following around all the time. Like, how's this? But they are absolutely stunning, some of your photographs.
Oh, thank you. I actually art and design at uni and did photography, so I'm sort of at least using my degree somehow right now.
Yeah.
And then everything for the Wanderlust Women is, the Instagram name is @the.wanderlust.women. And we post all events on there. We post everything that we're doing, all the events that we do, everything that we're sort of part of, everything according to that. If anyone wants to join, or, you know, support or whatever it is, then that's the page. But you can, people can always message me my personal one as well, and hopefully the website should be done very soon, which will be thewanderlustwomen.co.uk. So yeah, and on there will be all that information about everything that we do as well, plus our future events as well.
Fantastic. So we've got a final question, which we ask every guest. And Emily, as it's your first podcast today, I'm going to get you to ask it.
Gosh, I'm so lucky.
You should be honoured. You should be honoured.
So, yeah, we ask this question to everybody that comes on the podcast. So what is your favourite river and why? And if you don't have a favourite river, do you have a favourite river-based memory?
I don't know whether to tell you the one where everything went smoothly or whether to tell you the reality of the river walks.
Yeah, that one.
That one. So it was actually, where was it now? It was in Lancashire. It was the first time that one of the first sort of walks that I did with my mum. And I can't remember if it was my first hike or second hike. And I remember my mum would tell me just to wear outdoor clothing. And I was like, I just refused because I was like, no, they look ugly. I'm not wearing hiking boots. I'm not wearing waterproofs. And we were doing a river and woodland walk. And I just can't remember the location. I think it was, where was it now? It was in between Charlie and Preston. I just cannot remember the name. And obviously it was really boggy and had like a walking through the river, and literally by then like my shoes and everything were completely like muddy. And then there was like sort of, do you know when the rivers sort of come through and they go into like little streams, and sort of you don't know what's a path or what's a stream, and you sort of just walk. I literally went into a mud hole and slid all the way down. Like I was covered in mud. My mum was with her group, and she looked back and she was just like, I'm not, she's like, that's not my daughter. I'm not with her. Bless, like one of the gentlemen, he came and he helped me. He goes, it's okay. And I looked at myself and I was like, oh my God, I'm covered in mud. And I was really like, I was very much like, I was a bit more like, oh my God, ew, mud. And I was much more like that then. Obviously now I'm used to it. But then because that happened, I got really like, I thought, oh, it's fine. It's only mud. It's only dirt. And I laughed it off. And it was like a really amazing memory for me. So now every time I do any sort of river walks or sort of, you know, walks where there's like water and or where it's boggy, I just remember that memory. And I'm like, that was one of my first walks that I did.
Oh, that's brilliant. And that's so good. Thank you so much, Mira. That's just been so lovely to hear from you and hear about your incredible group. And we're going to follow your every move. And we hope you all the success. It's just absolutely fantastic. Well done thank to you.
And thank you for having me as well. It's been so nice.
Your first podcast, Emily, how does it feel?
Feels so good. No, it was a great one to start with, because I think a lot of our podcasts, they deal with some quite heavy topics about, you know, river degradation and all the animals dying and that sort of thing. So it was really nice to start with such an uplifting topic. And I mean, Amira is just amazing, and the only issue that is that she's made me feel massively inadequate.
I know, her confidence to go and do that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could do stuff like that. I just can't.
You can. That's
I can.
Point.
That's the point.
Exactly. But yeah, it's one of those things that I think, like Amira said, you know, there aren't any signs in the outdoors which say only white people allowed. But as a white person, you don't often think about the barriers and you don't perceive those microaggressions that might make it difficult for somebody of colour to spend time there. And it's just such a wonderful initiative to, as she said, help open that door for Muslim women to experience nature. So hopefully, if you're listening today, we will catch you on our next podcast, whatever that may be.
Today's podcast was supported by the Natural Course Life IP Project.